this rosary, ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharma, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Kamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. that every step to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy, blessed day. Oh, happy, blessed place. Oh, happy, blessed time. Oh, happy, blessed path. Oh, happy, blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dityampi tatyampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
What shall we look at this morning?
Well, so much was coming to me during this meditation. one was that this is like a super recharging station. And I was thinking sort of a heavenly recharging station. Providing such a perfect place for looking. And the constant reminders and supports, it just, it really is sort of amazing. And then another thing, when I had when I blinked once, it was a long blink, and when I opened my eyes, I was looking at the wall, there was a new light from somewhere. And it was just, it was like, again, metaphors everywhere, that everything was different. Mm-hmm. One blink. And the wall was different. I mean, but that's what we get to see over and over here, what we get to see in practice anywhere, but especially here, that the next second it can be different.
Yeah, and as you say, we know that on some level all the time, but here there's a way that it becomes a portal to the experience, and you know, in a very unique way. That so there you are sitting in meditation, and there's a long blink, and you open your eyes, and everything looks different. But what you're looking at is the wall. The wall is different. The light is different. And in that moment, you kind of get it on some kind of an experiential level that everything is new in each moment.
Yeah. And as you say that, what I was saying is that we're having the experience, those experiences, over and over again. So when something like that happens, it just brings that up.
Yeah.
That it's, there it is again. It's just the wall. It's just that, you know, the wall is, the light is a metaphor for that.
Yeah. So we have the experiences over and over again in our lives, and in that moment, that the wall and the light, it becomes a metaphor for that experience that we have all the time in our lives.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I just, the image that came to me, or dropped in, again during meditation, was just this peeling away, but it's like, ooh, kind of peeling away, of seeing things that, there's that ooh at first, mm-hmm. and then it's, thank God, mm-hmm. thank goodness, thank the gratitude for seeing that's not me,
mm-hmm.
and seeing everything that keeps us from knowing our goodness. Mm-hmm. That just struck me in a really big way mm-hmm. this time.
Because if we were, that's so interesting, Jan, because if we were to stay with the ooh, and when we don't know that that's not who we are,
yeah.
we can get stuck with the ooh, I don't want to do that. So then, following that reaction, it becomes a whole process of avoiding or resisting or setting up our lives where we never have to experience that stripping away, and everything gets built and it just stops right there, any yeah. kind of seeing or looking.
Yeah, that's a great description.
But what you described is seeing that and knowing that that's not who we are, and then getting to experience the, thank God, thank goodness.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a whole new world that is available, a whole experience of the world that's available to us because we know that that initial reaction is not who we are, that food.
Yeah, it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's gone on for so long that the identities have been around for so long that it takes going through that experience over and over again
mm-hmm.
to really seeing that I'm not the you for that to really sink in.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me see if this is it, because it takes going through it over and over again once we've seen it, because it's a deeply ingrained habit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really always the same exact process, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
No matter
yeah.
what the content is, this identity or this identity or this identity, the once we get it, that's not who we are, none of that is what we are,
right?
Then it really is quite simple. I mean, it's deeply ingrained, so we need a lot of practice to let it go. But it's quite simple that there's one movement, and that is back to what we are.
Right. And maybe, as you're saying that, that because it's so deep-seated that it takes the experience, seeing that process, that
yeah.
same process, like that it's so simple, over and over again,
yeah.
for that to be that deep-seated knowing, I'm going to say belief, but it's really a knowing.
Yeah, yeah. It really is like reprogramming our, because the programming is so deep that it takes that over and over again to, it's just like changing a habit,
yeah.
It takes that.
Yeah.
Repetition, and thank God we know how to do that.
Thank God, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Scott.
Yeah, that place of just kind of going up against the voices, or going up against what the voices say we are and what we can do,
mm-hmm.
and then just kind of getting on to that other side. I love that mm-hmm. training.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so grateful for that. And I just had a little experience that this morning. I have a commitment to go on a long run on Sundays, and I knew it was going to be raining all day.
Uh-huh.
So I, which I'm okay running in the rain, but to run like an hour and a half in the rain is like, I don't know how to stay dry that way.
Uh-huh.
So,
uh-huh.
so I got up early for me on Sunday,
uh-huh.
like before 6, and because the forecast is like the rain won't start until 8. I'm like, okay, I'm good.
Uh-huh.
And so I got out, went out 40 minutes, and turned around, and then just about right when I turned around, it started to rain
uh-huh.
hard. And I just know from experience, like, okay, you're gonna be really wet. And it's such a great place because there's no one to call to come get you.
Mm-hmm.
you're not gonna walk
yeah.
because you're gonna freeze.
Uh-huh.
You're not gonna sit under a tree because
it drips
on you, and it's probably not gonna stop raining.
Yeah.
So you just go.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like when we say, like, you're gonna take out the trash.
Yeah.
You can do it joyfully, or you can hate it.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, okay.
Yeah.
And I love that, just acceptance of what's going on. And then it's just such a experience of non-separation.
Uh-huh.
Like, yes, the rain's wet, I'm wet, there's just no difference. And just the body and the heat that's generated, and to watch the human respond, it's almost like the form gets better,
uh-huh.
the attention just I can feel the sensations on the outside of my body, on the skin level.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's these places of like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore, you know. And then it's just like, here comes the mentor. You're doing great. Do we need to adjust anything in our running stuff? Because we're not going to stop it. Like, is there anything we can do to make you more comfortable? And then mostly it's just cheering.
Yeah.
And then he sort of loves that. So then here it goes, you know.
Wow. It's just all of practice.
Yeah.
And that one example.
Yeah.
It? So there's the resistance that you know, in the, you know, kind of what you started out with, like there's this identity, and then our training is just to push through it over and over again, and then life just provides this fabulous experience to practice that today, and the fruits, the benefits we're getting to really fully experience the non-separation and all the sensations and the cheering of the mentor and putting all. Or reaping the benefits of all the practice that's been going on and experiencing it right then in those 40 minutes of running in the rain.
Yeah, and I love just that place too. So it's trying to tell me a story about it while I'm going, you know, like you're going to have to, usually on the long run, I'll walk up the hill and say, you're going to have to run that whole hill because you're going to get cold, and it's like, why don't we just see?
In
fact, you could run probably up the hill, and then you could walk and check in with the body, and then you could run some more, and then you could walk. I mean, there's just so many options.
Yeah.
But it's already deciding for me.
Yeah. It's already predicting what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's calling you, so we already know who that is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it was fun just to pay attention to the body, you know, what's going on, and to kind of know from experience that I know I'm losing body heat if I'm walking and I'm soaked.
Mm-hmm.
So it requires a real presence and an expanded awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love being called to life in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so see if this is active. The practitioner who really is up for it gets to employ everything, gets to all of the information that is coming in moment by moment, and gets to watch the intuition, you know, with the support of the mentor, keeping an eye on what conditioning is saying, and all of that is arising in the moment. And the person who practices and trains is getting to work with all of those factors, all of those variables.
Yeah, and you know, what's interesting is, so you know, when you see a process like that, I love that physical place of doing that. And then it's almost like life is like, I'm not sure you got all that, so I'm going to give you the exact kind of practice in sitting meditation this morning, where I don't usually have that much discomfort, but I don't know what it was, but there was a lot of discomfort.
Uh-huh.
And it was just almost the same process, you know, of, we're going to stay sitting.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to necessarily decide that we're not going to move or not, but we're going to encourage them not to move.
Yeah.
And then just the same thing, to watch everything about life in one sit just sort of arise in that place.
Wow.
It was just like, okay, thank you for today's lesson. You know, it was just really fun.
Wow. So life gave you another one right here in this sit. But the same thing, getting to really be with the body sensations, getting to watch the decision not to, you know, the decision whether we're going to move or not, you know, that's not going to be made ahead of time.
Yeah, exactly.
See, you know,
Yeah, and then of course, then you get to actually just be really interested in what's going on.
Uh-huh.
Like, what is discomfort? You know, just really paying attention to the sensations, and then it's just sort of fascinating. And then to watch the person like try to escape in a conditioned mind kind of conversation, and then to come back, and then just to kind of breathe and relax and watch the discomfort go away for a bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, wow, it's just all offered to us every moment.
Every moment that our attention is on the field of awareness.
Yeah.
Because that's really the only way all of that can be there, isn't it? Is that if our attention's on the field of awareness, then it can all arise and the attention can move and awareness is, and we're not separate
from
all of that.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Thank you.
This is so fun this morning. I'm totally having this whole mind experience. Because I was just looking at something, kind of a metaphor between running and meditation this morning as well.
Wow.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
And Well, it came up because recently I've been noticing in meditation there's been this kind of like sliding, mm-hmm. kind of sliding into this place of like, yeah, I think it even got so bad a couple of different times as it was just like, okay, I'm sitting on the cushion, I'm in the posture, but it's like, I mean, what?
The body appears to be here.
Exactly. Like, I'm kind of going through the motions. It looks like I'm doing it.
Uh-huh.
Other people might be fooled, but I know I'm not meditating. I'm just like, doing whatever. Uh-huh. Fantasizing, daydream, thinking. Uh-huh. Just basically in that same conditioned conversation that I'm in usually. So uh-huh. it's like, it kind of, I guess I just woke up to that. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what I'm here to do. Yeah. It's what I want to do. It's what I choose to do.
Yeah.
And it doesn't buy me anything to kind of go through the motions and look like I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And then to not be doing it.
Yeah.
And there was just this like really heartfelt longing, like I really want to do what I say I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I really want to be integrity. Mm-hmm. I love the experience of meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Who would be trying to rob me of that?
Mm-hmm.
The heart's not interested in that. And so it just, I don't know, the mentor just came in and was like, it was kind of cheering me along like the way it would in a running race.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You really can do it. And the running kind of metaphor came in was that in my job, we're paid to work out mm-hmm. for an hour or two a day, which is awesome. And but we're expected to.
Uh-huh.
And you're expected to have quite a high level of fitness.
Uh-huh.
And there were times where, I mean, a lot of times I would do that, and I was very, very fit. And other times, I'd kind of go through these phases where I'd get talked into like, I don't feel like it today, and I don't want to. But the part of the structure is that you do it. Between these times is what you do. Kind of like just here.
Mm-hmm.
At these times, we sit in meditation.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the deal. And
you can hate working out, or you can be happy working out.
Right.
You're going to be working out at this period of time.
Or you can kind of appear to be working out and not really be working out. Because there were times where there was this one particular loop that was not very popular that almost nobody went on.
Uh-huh.
And on those kind of days, I would like run really nice form. And run into that loop. And as soon as I got to the place where like nobody goes, I'd be like, look right, like, okay,
walk.
Totally! And then I go walking.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh my gosh, nobody but me knew
yeah.
that I wasn't running, but I knew it.
Yeah.
I wasn't running.
Yeah.
Dang it.
Yeah.
And there were times where I woke up to that, like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Who is this benefiting?
Yeah, who do I think I'm fooling?
Yeah.
And why do they want me to have a high level of fitness? You know, is it because
totally.
It's safety and because I can really do my job well? And like there's a us versus them. Like,
I know, right? Like somebody's making me do it.
Uh-huh.
And the fact is that when I'm fit, I feel amazing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The body is less prone to injury.
Mm-hmm.
I can do my job better.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is improved.
Is better. Yeah.
There's
yeah.
no downside to it.
Yeah.
And then when I did get in that pattern, if it would go on for a little period of time, the fitness would kind of start to go down.
Mm-hmm.
It would be less comfortable to work out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was all these negative
yeah.
kind of side effects. So, I don't know, I just saw that just the other day. And there was just this commitment
mm-hmm.
that came up within that was like, mm-hmm. I am going to commit to run every single step,
mm-hmm.
to breathe every single breath,
mm-hmm.
just to do it, because it's what I'm here to do.
Yeah. Gosh, there's so much in that. So number one, the first thing that kind of occurs to me is that none of that is a mistake. You know,
yeah.
it's like there's nothing about the walking when you got to the loop, or, you know, that is a mistake because we get to see it.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing, that there's no, you know, we can be grateful for every step of the way,
mm-hmm.
not, you know. And then that feeling that you described when you realized that you were sitting but not here,
mm-hmm.
that feeling of, I want to do that. I want to live in integrity. I really don't want to do, because this is what I'm here to do.
I went to great lengths to make it possible
yeah.
to be able to practice in this way. I care a lot.
Yeah. It's, that's such a, it critical moment is, and that is, I'm not doing it for anybody else, yeah, for any idea.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it for any desire or anything.
Yeah.
But this is what the human really wants. And boy, to get that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just so sweet.
Yeah, it's so sweet. Mm-hmm. I want to do it because it feels good. Mm-hmm. It's funny because the voices make it out to be like, okay, you're going to get to the place where nobody goes on that loop, and then you get to walk, and that's going to feel good.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I'm walking, and I guess I'm not feeling all those endorphins, the wonderful body things that go along with a great run. It's just kind of like, eh. Mm-hmm. And then there's this conversation, mm-hmm, start trying to talk me into feeling bad for not being in integrity.
Yeah.
Actually does not feel very good at all. Yeah. Certainly, it's my experience, it does not feel good to sit on the cushion and to not meditate.
Yeah.
And then my experience on the other side of it was, well, this is really cool. I just the other day when I saw that, I made a commitment that I am going to commit to every single sit, count every single breath. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like a contest place.
Yeah.
You know, it was not this like Nazi taskmaster, pseudo Zen master kind of thing. It was like, that's what I came to do. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
I want to do it.
Yeah.
And there's all these voices like, that's impossible, you can't do that,
yeah,
and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing because it was just the 2:30 sit just yesterday. I sat down, I had that intention, I'm going to do it. I chose to do it, and I did it.
Yeah.
I was there for every single breath.
Yeah.
It was like, it can be done.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Yes, and there is something about that, that show that I'm that it's the commitment,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm committing to doing it. And there's something magical that happens in that.
Yeah.
The alchemy, you know, yeah, the music talks about, or something that it really enables it to be,
yeah,
to be so.
Yeah.
And then we do it. And and it's the same with the running too, isn't
yeah
it? That when the feeling bad kicks in, when we do succumb to that conditioning, can realize, we can kind of see that was the whole point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't anything about what I think the body needs or anything. It's really, the whole point was that so the conversation
feeling
can
bad
start to get us to feel bad.
That's it.
And then what you just described is the antidote to that,
mm-hmm,
right? The commitment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the last part, just the gorgeous piece that brings it all together and that just kind of seals the deal. Like, I'm sold on every breath, on running every step. It's just, that's when I get to experience the benefit.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So I run every step. I have an incredible run, even if it's kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But then again, what does uncomfortable mean anyway?
Yeah.
They're just sensations. Even though voices are saying, you can't do it, or it's weird, or it doesn't feel right, or whatever, I do it anyway. And then when it's finished, it's like, oh my gosh.
Awesome.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that word barely even covers it.
Yeah.
And just the last like 4 or 5 sits or whatever, it's awesome,
mm-hmm,
in the best sense of that word. Like, the bell rang and it was like, I don't even want to move.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to talk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to disturb this mm-hmm incredible experience. I mean, it was just absolutely
mm-hmm
gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we get to walk out of the meditation hall, grab our recorder, and just really get all that.
Yeah.
And get all that on the recorder.
Right. Yeah, just be there.
Yeah.
Just be there. Every raindrop, every little swish of the bamboo, like spider webs in the breeze. Just, wow.
Yeah. And it's so exquisite.
Really?
And we get to be there.
Uh-huh.
And we get to be there because the human wants it, because that's what we want.
Yeah.
And in a sense, that's what we are.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, it's that showing up for ourselves that makes that possible.
It really, truly is.
Yeah.
Jim.
Fun topic.
I write
the whole mind, right along the same lines, but I'm really appreciating the fifth chakra assignment.
Wow.
And I loved the starting out with the Velveteen Rabbit. Oh, my gosh. Wow. I'd forgotten about that story.
Yeah.
And just even that, reading that and watching the energy as I listened to that piece of the assignment on my recorder,
uh-huh,
is amazing. Just, it reminds me so much of, especially right now, the way I'm experiencing it is with the relationship with Sadie,
mm-hmm,
and what gets mirrored kind of back back and forth, back and forth, it feels like, uh-huh. for me and Sadie. I mean, right, who knows what's going on, but I just have watched so deeply falling in love with her over the years, and that it's so interesting that I can remember. It's funny because it's one of those places where the voices, yeah, anyway, I can remember in the beginning when we first got her, she was small, you know, she was a puppy. And she used to do this thing where she would run down a hill towards me and jump into my arms.
Oh.
Just literally leave the ground and I would catch her.
Wow.
And then it was funny, at a certain point, I think she knew she couldn't do that anymore. And I would tell her, like, no, no, it's okay. And she just wouldn't do it anymore. I guess she, you know, she didn't trust me that I could get her. But we always grew up with labs, with labbers. And so, you know, she's a mutt, basically, but sort of a Labrador mutt, although I'm not even sure she has any Labrador hair. But I remember in the beginning of kind of this, like, you know, she doesn't really actually look that much like a lab. You know, and her ears aren't right, and, you know, really a process like that. Like, and I look at her now and I think, wow, I can't believe that.
You can't believe that that used to happen.
Yeah. And to see that process with this person, and that velveteen rabbit thing of, you know, there's that line where, I guess the rabbit saying to the skin horse, does it hurt? And the skin horse says, sometimes. And I love that because he was always truthful, you know?
Yeah.
And, but when you're real, you don't mind it. And your eyes are rubbed off, and your ears are, you know. And I look at Sadie, and every day she has more white hair. And that face, that little nose, and those big brown eyes, and the way her, you know, her ears are not quite standing up, but not quite lying down, you know. And there's just, oh my gosh, it's so, like, I look at that face. And when I can, I say to her out loud, how can it be that there is something that cute? It's just not even right, you know? And I just, what I see is that as there's that that place where the supposed imperfection is so perfect and so lovable, but that, it's like that's the portal to life is as perfect as it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, that, yeah, so the experience that you had early on, and well, she's not really comfortable with her.
I'm not really allowed.
That's critical too, to the whole experience that you're describing now. Because if there weren't that awareness of, oh, there used to be a perception of imperfection, and now there is absolute perception of absolute perfection, and that in itself, that in its entirety, is the portal to realizing life's utter perfection in each and every expression.
I was looking at very similar things to what other people were talking about this morning, where, again, I woke up early, I was awake early and realized, oh, it's not raining yet.
Yeah.
All right. So suited up, went out to get exercise before it starts raining. And just that, it's so interesting, things like that. I experience that as if literally someone is doing that for me. Of just such deep gratitude.
Yeah.
You know, same thing I talk about with my hermitage gets cleaned. You know, another one happened recently. I can't remember what it was, but it was something where, again, I got home and blah, blah, blah. And then I realized, oh, I know what it was. Yeah, I hadn't brought any drinking water back to my hermitage with me. And I was even already in bed, sitting, I think, doing some email class. And I just realized she's thirsty. So up she got and went. And it's such an experience of receiving that. Like, can't even believe someone went and got me water.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Somebody with all this trouble for me.
Got me water. Because, simply because she was thirsty.
Yeah. Yeah. No big conversation about it.
Yeah.
It was just, she's thirsty.
Yeah. And that place of mentoring, of so for me this morning it was, I was quad stretching, and I realized there was such resistance to it. And again, that sense of sort of the mentor going, well, let's, you know, like the running, like, we're not going to not do it, but that's interesting. Let's look, like, piece by piece. Let's see, where does the dislike enter into the equation? Mm-hmm. And so just piece by piece, I got into the pose.
Mm-hmm.
First that, then, you know, holding that, and then that. And realized it's there was tension being held that was making it unpleasant, that actually wasn't part of the pose.
Mm.
And so in getting in it piece by piece so slowly, there was a complete relaxation except for the pose, and it wasn't unpleasant at all.
Yeah.
You know?
And if the mentor hadn't been there to sort of break it down and be with the person doing it, that might have just stayed missed.
Right.
Yeah.
Instead, it's just a, okay, let's just do it and get over it.
Yeah.
It's only going to take 2 minutes,
just
whatever it is. Just get through it.
Yeah.
But with that encouragement, you know, it's like the water, or it's like that deep unconditional love of just that process of having your eyes worn out.
Yeah.
Here's, you know, and just the fur rubbed off and the, oh, it's amazing.
It's the deep receiving that you were talking
about.
It's
the deep receiving. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because this other way of just, oh, just do it, and because, you know, we just need to get through it, and we can, you know, it'll be fine.
Right.
You know, there's no receiving in
that. In fact, it's an orientation of surviving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, just surviving life, just getting through.
Yeah.
I remember Sherry saying once to me, when we were talking about, I think I was talking about, you know, being in a place where you're with someone you really, really love, and then they leave and you stay, and there can be that sense of loss.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about the place of what's missing in that is the relationship with, you could say it a few different ways, oneself or with life.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a receiving of what's there. Instead, the attention is on the loss.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it is that, exactly like you're describing. It's a receiving of what's there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, all these great benefits that we have to practice, like, you know, you go out and exercise early in the morning on a Sunday because it's going to rain, you know. And that you really could have two different orientations to that. Just gut it out, that's the right person thing to do, whatever. But boy, miss the whole thing that's available in that.
Yes.
Is the great love that goes into that.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is kind of the whole life experience of it. It's the same thing as sitting on the cushion or morning meditation or anything, because anything we do, well, it's from what Jan started us off with, isn't it? That this place is like a, you know, the opportunity, of course every place is, but let's just, you know, for this place, that what we're here to do is to transcend that other just get it through, and to get that the other possibility, to live in that other possibility of the receiving, of the awareness, of the integrity. And if we just gut it through, we can get through our whole lives, right? Our job, our career, our family, we get those kids raised, we're going to do this, we're going to, you know. And what have we...
And, you know, the running in the rain is such a perfect one, because it's like, it's not, okay, go out and run in the rain. You know, the intention is, hey, let's run when it's dry.
Uh-huh.
That's going to be, you know, really much more supportive to the human, right?
Uh-huh.
So let's go. Everything's set up to intended for that. That's not how it goes.
Yeah.
So the freedom is to love that, to receive what's there, because we're here in the middle of it. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
And to love that, oh my gosh, that's such a huge place of freedom.
Yeah. Yeah, to love that is such a huge place of freedom, and it is applicable. It has applications for every moment.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just amazing, isn't it, to hear about all these awareness workshops that have been happening this morning.
Yeah.
Already, and we have it together.
You're born in it.
This morning I woke up
into the rain, or was woken up by the rain with that rain, you know, that kind of lit up. And I watched attention flick to conditioned mind with a, oh, I've got to go and open the gate, it's raining, you know, that kind of, oh no, like closing down. And got to see how that was an experience of checking in with conditioned mind, not an experience of walking up the hill to open the gate, which was the most beautiful thing, and there was a deep receiving of that, you know. I was, it's like I've been watching this shift from being identified with self-hate, where the human is kind of an inconvenience. I remember hearing Sherry say to a caller in open air, oh, it's like you're an inconvenience in your own life. Wow, that really captured it. Like, oh God, I've got to, she's thirsty, I've got to get her a drink, I've got to go down there and get a coat on so she can, you know, that kind of, it's like a
burden she is to me.
Exasperated, the inconvenience, and the shift from that to, like, oh, you know, I'd love to read the email class and my glasses are down in the office. Will you go and get my glasses for me? Yeah, of course. You know, I'll just go and do that. And, you know, we've got to walk up the hill this morning to open the gate. Let's get all our layers on. And, you know, and I guess, you know, we talk about it as being the one supporting the human, and just how everything is fun in that.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything becomes an opportunity to express love.
And to
give, and the beautiful thing is we get to be the receiver and the giver at the same time.
Really, really amazing. And as I was walking up the hill, I was just like talking out loud, kind of to the mentor, or you know, just being in that relationship, just saying, you know, thank you for everything, and greeting everything, all of the leaves and the raindrops and
So getting to be in this wonderful close relationship with the mentor, just talking, just being together, having been taken care of as you make that little trek up the hill to open the gate, and just getting to experience all of that, you know, all of that beauty in that moment.
Right. And you know, just watching a moment where felt like the energy kind of sagged a bit, or spirit flagged, you know, and there was just a turning attention to like a hand on the back.
Showing up. Mm-hmm. It kind of is encapsulated in that phrase, isn't it? Showing up for oneself.
Yeah.
And all of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was curious when you came in up and found that the gate was open, because the facilitator thought that was her job to go up and open the gate. Because like, oh, you get all dressed and you walk up the gate, like, oh, it's open. Okay.
Well, that was an amazing part of the workshop too, because you know, like I was just watching. There was a like registering. Oh, the gate's open, and how to describe it? There was that intuitive knowing that if attention had been on a conversation, there'd have been a,
all this for nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
And there was just an awareness that wasn't what was there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, isn't that fun?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Turn around. It was just gratitude, because you know when you're in that, it was just gratitude for every bit of it, for the awareness workshop, for the experience of being all warm in the body, you know, kind of tucked up in the rain, and just that stopping every few steps to look at the mist. And
And now two of us got that experience. So caught up in the story, it would have been a whole different experience of, but as it was just, I got to have this.
I guess that what's dropping in is that perfection just as it is. There was no, there was like a receiving of the experience and a registering of the absence of, didn't even have to.
Registering the absence of that, of that suffering.
Yeah, I don't know how else to put it, but
it's just that, right? You know, that just as the cousin to the joy of intelligence knowing itself.
the registering of the absence of the suffering. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I had a wonderful experience of receiving that the gate was open. Mm-hmm. Because what was going through my mind was, I haven't seen anyone go down to group yet. So the first person who's going to open it would be the person who's walking down. And come up to the gate and see it open was just that place of, wow. And it's something we don't notice, right? Because in my experience, I have to go open the gate.
Yeah.
In order, in my case, for me to go through, and to have that experience of someone else is, I mean, when I'm in charge of opening the gate, it's never from the perspective of, I'm opening it for someone else. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And really, for me, in that sense. Mm-hmm. But it was just that, and sitting here in group today, having been through some karmic songs this morning, it's the same experience of receiving the goodness of life.
Uh-huh.
So my what I was looking at is how a particular relationship karma, where the story is that in order for me to be okay in a relationship, I have to accommodate over and over again. So the accommodation is the price I have to pay in order to be okay in a relationship.
Uh-huh.
And watching how the karma is what creates a me, and but also creates the you, right? So that the relationship is really not real.
Yeah,
and then
it's a created thing.
Yeah, it's completely made up because it's the same karma no matter who I'm relating to.
Yeah.
So knowing that it's the same karma no matter who I'm relating to, it becomes kind of obvious that it's the karma, and who I'm relating to is completely made up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have a relationship with anybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? That the karma is the personal process of you and me.
Uh-huh.
And so if me doesn't exist and you doesn't exist, then where's the relationship?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Right? And that whole myth of, well, then where's the accommodation?
Uh-huh.
And where, and who's going to be okay?
Who's going to be okay?
And so the whole thing, it was that those phenomenal shifts where the whole karma is bogus because there is no relating.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing when we kind of get that, like, oh, this whole thing is a construct that is bogus.
Yeah.
Because there's no...
Well, I've seen how I could be... I am made up.
Uh-huh.
But to recognize that you are made up is what shifts the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because that's the content that it gets focused, the suffering gets focused on. If you were different, or if you didn't have to make me accommodate you, then I would not have to be in this position of having to be okay by accommodating you.
Yeah.
And so it's the self-hate projected outward that creates the person that actually keeps me in place.
Yes. So it sounds, so if I'm with you, it's that, but what you're just, so what you're describing is that you're well aware that the I, me, is a creation. But what has dropped in is that other person, the you, is a creation as well. Because it would get as if that person, if they would change, because we got to assume they're real.
Yeah,
I know I'm not real, but they're real. And so if they would just change, then I wouldn't have to create this karmic karma and you do all this.
Yeah.
But getting it that, oh, wait a minute, you're not real either.
Yes,
you're creative.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that assisted in getting out of the karmic process because there was no behavior. The behavior change was much more accessible. If the person's not real.
Yeah.
Right? Because I don't have to do... I mean, the whole construct dissolved for me in a way that just believing I wasn't real or karma wasn't real, I didn't have access.
Yeah. It's like the image that dropped in is like a rope. If you've got two ends of the rope to play tug of war, right? As long as anybody's holding one rope, one end, there's still sort of a pull to think that the game is still going on.
Yeah.
But if both people drop the rope,
yes,
there's no game.
So the insight was, so all karma is personality, right? That either you or me.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a made-up you and a made-up me. That's how The karma has to be, mm-hmm. always. And so if there, so I'm either, if I know there's a you or a me in the process, whether there's a conversation that I'm having to accommodate, or you're the person who is, my okayness is based on, I'm in the process of karma.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so then what does it feel like to be in the process of life? It requires no people.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No identities.
What
do you mean by people? What do you?
I don't know what I mean by people. That's the exaggeration. Because if it's a visceral embodiment of awareness does not need someone to be aware.
Uh huh. Yes.
Because if I've been so trained to believe that love has to have two people.
Yeah.
If love is a process, then what does it feel like to be in the process of love if there is no object of love?
Yeah. And now you're asking that question about life.
Yes.
What is the process of life if there are no, if there's no object of life?
That's
no
right.
People.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it was a koan. Uh-huh. And I felt really identified and very kind of reserved about it. And it's that walking through the, coming up on the gate and seeing it open, mm-hmm. is to come to group and witness the impersonal goodness of every person's practice, mm-hmm. and the answer of the koan was there. Because what I realized is I was in that process. I was in the process of goodness without any people.
Yes.
Oh, you know, it was just, wow, thank God for Sangha.
Yeah.
Thank God for this place where no matter what's going on inside, you're held in the ability to see and receive because someone will open the gate for you.
Yes.
And it's not even a someone, because if I really go to that place of there is no someone,
right,
life will open the gate.
Exactly.
And there is the ability to move to that appreciation of every node being a process of goodness,
yeah.
that is there to assist.
Yeah.
And it's not personal. And so the koan got answered, right? It's not about people or personalities or identities, but there's a way to relate to the quality that doesn't have to be personal.
Yes. That can't be personal.
That can't be personal.
Right.
Yeah.
And I can see where you're pointing to sitting in group today, because what we've been hearing is everyone's process. Not personality.
That's
not
right.
I did this and then I saw this, but everyone describing the process that is the answer to the koan.
Yes, exactly that. It's the ability to drop out of the karmic process of personality or personalization,
mm-hmm.
to drop into the life process that's totally impersonal.
Yes,
and yet totally intimate,
yeah,
and totally unique,
yeah.
in the flavors of the experience.
Yeah.
And the only way to drop into it is if I'm not in the karmic process, mm-hmm. right? That everybody's universally in the process of goodness for that appreciation.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Everyone is universally in the process of goodness for that appreciation.
Yeah. That if I'm operating in the karmic process, I could relate to that person had a fabulous insight,
yes.
versus that was life in goodness.
Yeah, yeah. It's sort of like I don't know. It's kind of, we get to either swim in the whole pool, or we get to like splash around in this old little confined thing and call it swimming. But it's not really swimming in the whole pool, because I'm relating to this little piece or this little piece or this little piece.
Yeah.
What's available is and what you're describing is the utterly impersonal ubiquitous nature of the compassion that's always there to experience, mm-hmm. without it being attached to anyone, anything, because it's all process.
Well, what when you say that, you know, what dropped in is the other movement that I think happened in group, because the question of how can I love without an object is a conditioned question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That question had to be dropped, in the witnessing of goodness or awareness or love or care or velveteen rabbit, that is becoming real, right? Mm-hmm. Because only when that process of karma, whatever the manifestation of it, is dropped, however that happens, mm-hmm. that we actually know, going back to the knowing, we know what the experience is without the persons involved. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I project that it, however the dropping happens, is when we encounter the open gate. So
yes.
So it's like, okay, there it gets dropped. I've got to open the gate.
Yeah.
It just gets blood busted.
It's that willingness of the third chakra, right? That so long as I make the shift to I am giving up what I want, then we drop from a process of ego to a process of life. We drop into willingness as a process, which does not involve any self.
Yeah,
big warning.
Big warning.
Thank you.
Mark, can I see your hands?
Yes. I think I had, during meditation this morning, as the conversation was going on, it dawned on me that I was doing a meditation what was occurring when I had the evil dream about, you know, 4 or 5 nights ago. Mm-hmm. And not wanting it to be there, trying to get away from it, mm-hmm. and doing whatever I could to establish getting away from it. Mm-hmm. And during meditation, I was just amazed at the volume and the different kinds of experiences that were going on. Mm-hmm. A sensation, this part of my body, that part of my body up here, and this one tickles that one, you know. Mm-hmm. Just all kinds of bodily sensations, immense amounts of thoughts going mm-hmm. through my mind. Mm-hmm. Sometimes for just a fleeting moment, and other times for maybe a couple of seconds before I could, you know, let that go. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But what it felt like at the time is that I was just getting bombarded. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was almost like it was too much to handle, and I wanted it to stop. I wanted to be calm and be restful and.
Wait, this isn't the experience of meditation.
Easy breathing.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Uh-huh. And it didn't dawn on me until the group started that was the same experience
that
I had the other night. And so again, it's that being able to get to a position of saying, okay, keep on coming in.
Yeah.
Keep it up. Let's take notes. Let's count the number of different things that you felt in your body.
Uh-huh.
You know,
well, the shift, it seems to be what you're describing is the shift of between this isn't what I want. This isn't what I'm here for. I don't want to meditate like this. I don't want this experience.
Right.
I want, and then but not flipping to the other side of okay, whatever, I'm just going to kind of let it all be there and not pay attention to that. But finding that way of, okay, I'm going to get really interested in this, in watching, mm-hmm. and notice, okay, so now there's this. So it's that, it's not resistance and not whatever, it's an attentiveness, which is what I think you got to with the nightmare too, right? I'm not going to push it away, get up and walk around in the cold till it goes away, and I'm not going to, but I want to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
To what this is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's quite a workshop.
Yeah.
And it sounds like available in any number of
forms. That's right. Yes, we'll have to stay awake here to find it next time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I bet it won't be hard. It'll, life is the way it's regular.
Jim. I've been having kind of a workshop ever since class. I've
was and the email class was sent to me for editing. And it's fifth chakra, which, surprise, surprise, might have some meaning for me. And I've just gone back and forth sitting here this morning and just seeing all these pieces of things. And I see the scramble to put it all into this coherent story that I can then tell. And also this morning, I reread the class, and the editor did not do her usual job, even on that class.
That would
I was so triggered that I just found that amusing. What is interesting to me is, I've talked about this so many times, and I got emotional growing up, just being not allowed to say anything at all contrary to either parent without getting whipped. And so belittled and squashed, I think is the word in the class. And on top of that, having the nine karma. So all of that added up. So starting awareness practice early on, struggling with that whole not saying, not getting the difference between or not seeing quite what identification is, not having this. I'm not these words right, but not having the distinction between a kind of just place of awareness and a place of identification, the ego, I. And not, let's see, what is the word that has been used this morning? Scrambled brain. Not knowing when, let's see, the whole struggle has been a false struggle of thinking that there's a place that I can get to where it's okay to say what I feel, even when it's clear that what I feel is from identification of some sort. And trying, never to say anything that is emotion related, that has anything in it at all that doesn't sound centered. It isn't, but fix the words so that it sounds like you're disidentifying. And I was laboring under the misconception that I had moved through
pretty much all of that until I made that class. And yeah, clearly.
It comes back.
So, the thing about the image of tug of war, and both sides have to put that rope down. And one side is not, and what this side is yelling at the other side is, pick the rope up, you coward. And there's not even truth there. This rope has been dropped in a kind of acquiescence. You know, it's just one of the hardest places. This whole when you say something with I don't even know what I'm trying to say. What is it? You know, it's like this. It's like there's a standard. This is the kind of thing that is okay to say out loud, and this isn't. And if I practice hard enough, I'll keep the list separated and get it right. And I'll know what's what.
Yeah. So that's sort of the name of the game of the tug of war is. Some things are okay to say and some things aren't. And in this context, some things you can say things from center, but you can't say things when you're identified unless you craft it to where it doesn't sound like you're identified. Then you can say that. So that's the whole name of the game.
Yeah.
But what you're saying is one side of the rope has dropped. There's someone who really, you know, has moved through it, circles back, that has worked with this for a long time, and yeah.
I don't feel like that's who is on the rope. I feel like a little girl who hurts has dropped her into the rope. And I'm not sure who this is, but she points a finger and calls her a coward.
Yeah, so it's self-hatred. It's hatred in some ways. Yeah. And calls her a coward. But she's not picking back up the rope.
No. You know, I don't know where all of this goes when I'm not reading stuff about the shop.
Who knows where it all goes? When it's not here, when it's not cycled up here, who knows where it all goes, right? Well, something else is up. Yeah. But here it is. Here it is, getting to be looked at and getting to be explored. And just to kind of, you know, state the obvious, you're talking about it. You know? So whoever is being, maybe it is a little girl that's being told she's a coward, but there's someone who sure is brave. Who's no coward, who's talking about it.
That's really confusing. Let's see, there was another piece.
What's going on now?
It's a kind of a scramble. Just flirting from thing to thing.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? So it's trying to kind of regroup, maybe, or scramble, keep putting, moving from thing to thing.
Do you remember there used to be a show on TV called, I think it's called Concentration?
Uh-huh.
And it would be this big square, and it's like,
yeah. I mean, that's what it is. That's what the brain is doing right now. And you're watching.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. You're not. You're the one watching it as it's doing its thing. You know. It's just helpful to acknowledge that. Whatever this thing happens to be.
Yeah. So now, what's happening is the summit up thoughts. What is the bottom line problem here? Let's see. Bottom line.
I gotta sum it up and get a lesson and like that. You know, finish it up. And, tidy it up, and really, it's like what Ishwari was saying. It can be just a koan, and the summing it up is the antithesis of a koan. A koan is sort of the open. Well, I don't know. We'll see.